appreciate how the Lord's used you in my own heart. Preacher, God bless you. I love you.
I love you.
Amen.
If you have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10. Thank the Lord I can remember a time when he came to me. Amen. Appreciate the Solid Rock folks being with us tonight. There's a good crowd of them here, Stacy. Don't be hard on them. Gracious. More than you want to give an account for. I appreciate these two churches and what they mean to us, not just this week, but on a monthly basis, how these both churches have been so kind to us. And I count both your pastors a friend, and thank the Lord for them. We have been, since Sunday morning, using three verses in the New Testament as the basis of our study these days. One of the verses is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul said in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare. Paul takes for granted that you would agree with him tonight that we're in a war. It is not in Afghanistan, it's not in Iraq, it's not in the Mediterranean. Well, it's much bigger than Rocket Boy. I tell you, if that's all we got to worry about tonight is Rocket Boy, we're home free. This ain't much bigger than that. He said, we're in a spiritual war. But the sad thing about it, Paul said that the weapons for this warfare are not carnal. He said, if you're going to fight in this battle, he said, you must use weapons that you can't see. Weapons to fight in this battle ain't got no triggers on them. They're invisible weapons. That's why most of us are getting whooped. And we don't know how to fight these battles. There's battles going on in this building right now. The unseen world. Fight going on. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He said, if you fight these with spiritual weapons, he said, you can pull down strongholds. He said, you can take on hell with a water pistol. If you fight spiritual weapons. Another verse that we use as the basis for our study is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul said, now thanks be unto God, which told you every service. Don't you wish he wouldn't have put that word in there? He hadn't put that word in there. He messed everything up when he put that word in there. Because you could have had a few good days and a bunch of bad days and prided yourself you're a pretty good Christian. He said, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Paul said, God's fixed it up where you never have to lose a battle. He's fixed it up where you win every battle. Hey, how's that going for you? Be tonight, the reason why you're not winning every battle is because you're not fighting it with spiritual weapons, you're fighting it with carnal weapons. You're getting whooped. Another verse that he uses, that we're using for the basis of this study, is in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 37. Paul says, nay, in all these things, isn't that what usually gets me and you down? Beside ourselves, something. He said, nay, in all these things we are. Gracious. I wish you wouldn't have put that word in there. Why didn't he just say we are conquerors? He's not interested in you being a conqueror. Oh, no. He said, he's interested in you being more than a conqueror. He said, I'm interested in your battles. It'll be like Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. It won't no photo finish. Old Carter give up at lunchtime. He blowed him out. That is the way he wants us to fight. Always triumphing, more than a conqueror. So we went to the Old Testament, and we've been since Sunday morning looking at Old Testament battles and how they were fought. And we want to do that again tonight in 1 Samuel. We've been preaching on the subject of earthly battles fought in heavenly ways. And as we have meditated and pondered these battles from the Old Testament, they were not fillers. God didn't stick these battles in there, take up some space so he could have a big book. He placed these battles in here for our admonition, teach us how to fight spiritually in our battles. One of those battles was the Battle at Jericho. We found that it was a battle for our fortresses, those embedded things in our lives, those things that we keep having to either tell God we're sorry we've done it again, or tell some individual we've done it again. Embedded, a besetting sin, you just keep doing it over and over and over again. What did Joshua do in order to conquer Jericho, as we've said every night? Nothing. Nothing. Well, he did walk around a little bit and shout a little bit, but that's all he did. God would tell us tonight, if you'll walk with me and you'll worship me in praise, he says, I'll bring your embedded situation down. Hey, you can go over there to that psychiatrist, that psychologist, and talk about your besetting sins if you want to. You can start walking with God and shout a little bit, and he'll bring them down. Amen. Listening to me tonight. We also looked at Gideon's battle with the Midianites, a battle for our faith. Didn't want Gideon to believe that he can. Didn't want Gideon to believe that he will. But he wanted Gideon to believe that he already has. Call the things that are not as though they were. It's a big step in a battle tonight. What in the world did Gideon do in order to take the Midianites? Absolutely nothing. Well, he did take a horn and bust a pitcher and blow the horn and shout, I think I can do that. I'm good at breaking things. Huh? I bet you some of you could handle that. Are you listening to me tonight? We also looked at Jehoshaphat's battle for our focus, keeping our eyes on the Lord. Old Jehoshaphat said he is clueless. He didn't know what to do, but his eyes was on the Lord. How in the world did Jehoshaphat win his battle? He sent the choir out, and they sung in a loud voice, praises unto God. And God took care of the battle. Basically, they did nothing. And then last night, we looked at Moses' battle with Amalek, a battle with our flesh tonight. Amalek was a grandson of Esau, type of the flesh. How in the world did Moses beat Amalek? He didn't do nothing. Matter of fact, the joker sat down on a rock, held his hands up in the air, had Aaron, which is a picture of Christ, our high priest. We got a positive connection in heaven, and her, a picture of the Holy Ghost, a ground wire down here. He was holding up the other hand. If you have a positive connection and a ground wire, you'll have power. And while he held up his hands, Joshua destroyed Amalek down in the valley. Hey, where was the battle won? Down in the valley? Absolutely not. It was won up on a hill, as we sung tonight for the offertory, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. All of your battles were won at Calvary. I'd like to tonight look in 1 Samuel to begin with in chapter 13. And I'd like to look tonight at the battle between David and Goliath. And I want to preach on this subject. The battle is fixed. I did not know if you noted or not, but if you've ever been redeemed by the grace of God, before the foundation of the world, God rigged it where it's impossible for you to lose. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't care. It matters not. You say, preacher, I'm getting whooped. The devil's turning me every which way. We still won. Huh? Preacher, the devil's messing with my mind. I'm so depressed, I can't even see the bottom. It don't care. You still won. If you know God tonight, the battle's been rigged. He rigged it for the foundation of the world. It's impossible for you to lose. Oh, you might lose a scrimmage here and there and lose a battle here and there, but the war is over. And see if you'll start fighting your battles from the evidence that they have already been won. Instead of you trying to win them, preach them from the angle that they've already been won. How in this world am I going to do this? Old David was a giant killer. Now, do not get fuzzy-wuzzy on me tonight and have a religious experience and think you're going to go into giant killing. Because if you do, all hell's fixing to break out. You better make sure that you're ready for giant killing. And one of the only ways you could be ready for giant killing is to believe that the battle's been rigged. It's been fixed. It's impossible for you to lose. As we begin to look at David, the giant killer, I want to look first of all tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 13 at the strength for this battle. Where in the world would I get strength tonight to believe that I have already whooped and won in a battle with all my giants? I notice in this strength for the battle, David was a scripture-filled man. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 13, God has taken the kingdom away from Saul. And he tells Saul the reason why that he has taken it away from him. He says in verse number 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. He told Saul, he said, David wants God's heart inside of him. Wow. One's heart tonight would be his thinking apparatus, as a man thinketh in his heart. He said, David wants to think like God thinks. Let not your heart be troubled. David wants to feel and be touched with what God is touched with. As a man purposeth in his heart. He said, David wants to do only what God wants him to do. I know it's semantics, and I'll not argue with you. I'd sort of bow up inside every time I hear it. People talking about inviting Jesus into their heart. One small problem with that, it ain't nowhere in the Bible. Not confusing you with the Bible. Ezekiel said, if you've ever been redeemed and born again, he said God would put a new heart inside of you. The very heart of God. You want to think like God thinks. You want to feel what God feels. You want to do what God does. If God has put a heart like that inside of you, how would you know it? Because if that heart is inside of you, it craves. How many of you have ever had a craving and you just got to get it? If he's put that heart inside of you, you crave the Word of God. Amen. If you do not crave the Word of God, make yourself a note. I'm going to hell when this is over with. David said in the Psalms, he says, as a deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my heart after thee, O Lord. Water in the scripture is a picture of the Word of God. David said, as that deer pants after water, he said, so does my heart crave the water of the word. Amen. Strength for the battle tonight to believe that it's fixed, it's rigged, we've already won. It must be scripture filled. I have in my travels seen deer cross 8 lanes of traffic, 4 on each side and a cement embankment in the middle, for no other reason than to get a drink of water. And you say you're saved and can go days without touching a Bible. You're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. Huh? I'm afraid most of us, like old Gil, I heard on XM radio the other day. I have XM radio. It keeps me awake. And please forgive me. I listen to the country channel. I listen to 60s music. Anything to keep me awake. They have an old channel over there where they talk about things that have happened on talk radio. This old boy was talking about this old gal out in Minnesota had called him not long ago. Major highway runs right through her town, major interstate, 75 miles an hour, and some of the worst deer accidents have happened right before her town. There's a deer crossing there. Horrendous accidents, horrible accidents. People get killed because deer cross the road. And she called into the radio station and she said, I want you to help me and support me. She says, I'm going to the city council and I'm going to ask them if they would move that deer crossing a little closer to town where the speed limit is 35, so the deer, some of you are looking at me like, that sounds like a good idea. No, it's not. The water's back there. Are you listening to me tonight? I tell you, if God's ever put a new heart inside of you, you crave the Word of God. Strength for the battle. David was scripture filled. I notice in chapter number 16, where would I get strength for this battle? How would I know that it is rigged? I've already won. How can I fight out of victory? Not trying to get victory, fighting the fact that I've already won. How can I do that? Not only must you be scripture filled, 1 Samuel chapter number 16, we notice that David was spirit filled. The Bible said, then Samuel, verse 13, took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth. David was saturated with the Holy Ghost. He had the Holy Ghost on him. He had the Holy Ghost in him. He had the Holy Ghost through him. I asked here the other night, I asked you again tonight. I know she sung tonight, and he talked about a fetching experience. All of us got that fetching story. You got a story of any time you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? I tell you, don't take on no giants tonight if you ain't got a Holy Ghost filled story. You fixing to pull back a nub. I went to a Bible college where I didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. It was in the late 70s over in Saluda, North Carolina one night. God kicked the bottom end out of me, filled me with the Holy Ghost. I was about 4 hours lost in another world. I didn't even know if I was in this world or not. I'd done cried till the front of my shirt was sopping wet. But I know one thing, that night, he emptied me of my stinking self and filled me with the Holy Ghost for the first time. And a lot of the roots of my success is rooted in what happened that very night. Oh, there's been other feelings, but there's never been a feeling like that feeling. I'm telling you tonight, if you're going to know that the battle is rigged tonight, if you're going to fight out of victory, not trying to get victory, but live out of the fact that you've already won, you must be scripture-filled, you must be spirit-filled tonight. Do not fool with giants tonight. It will not go well with you. Not only do I see the strength for this battle, you've got the Bible there. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I want us to see the soldiers in this battle, this fixed battle, soldiers. I notice in chapter number 17, verses 41 through 44, there is a haughty soldier. Haughty soldier. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He belittled him. You little upstart, I'll make mincemeat out of you. He said that David was but a youth, ruddy, fair countenance, pretty boy. Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? Thou comest to me with staves. And the Philistine cursed David. He said, your blankety blank gods ain't going to help you now. He didn't know David. Full of the Bible. Full of the Holy Ghost. Philistine said to David, come to me. I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the fields. Here, Goliath is like a miniature poodle sniffing around a rock waller. Can you imagine tonight if that be? So, Goliath is a miniature poodle you could put in your coat pocket, and he's sniffing around a rock waller. It ain't gonna go well. Proverbs says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Fighting giants and haughtiness will not work out, but weakness and I can do nothing. I'm leaning all of my weight upon you. I'm trusting the fact that you have rigged the battle. I have already won, and in humility, I fight this battle in your strength. Haughty soldier. But I see in our text, there's a humble soldier. Verses 41 through verses 44, the words that are used, like in verse 43, for said, it is a loud, bellowing voice. The Bible says in verse 45, then said David to the Philistine. The little word said here is a very low voice. It would be the difference in an outside voice and an inside voice. David just talked normal to him, just like he would normally talk. I can almost hear Goliath say, what'd you say? Just talking very normal. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spirit, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. It's an interesting title to come to a battle with, the Lord of hosts. The little title is the one who wins all battles before he fights them. Wow. Told you this before, I wouldn't mind fighting any of you if I knowed I could whoop you before we start. If I knowed it was rigged, I knowed I was going to knock you out before we started. I'd bring it on. That's how he comes to Goliath. I'm coming to you in the name of the one that has done whooped you before I got here. Lord of hosts. says in the text in verse 46, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. All the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's." None of these battles that you're fighting, they're not your battles. They're God's battles. And he said, you can fight them. You can roll all around in the dust with the devil if you want to. Or he said, you can stand up and act like you've already won. Choice is yours tonight. He said, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. Oh, verse 48, "And it came to pass when the Philistine rose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine." I'm telling you tonight, do not miss this. David is not, David is not, David is not on the defense. David is on the offense. Do not think for a moment that the devil has ever had the ball. He has never, ever even touched the ball. We are on the offense tonight. Ain't nobody got the ball but God's people. You can't score unless you got the ball for the most part. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, he's not on the defense. Humility has put him on the offense, realizing that the battle is fixed. He has already won. Can I mention also tonight strategy for this battle? In the world's David going to take this giant on? I notice in our text tonight in chapter 17 and verse 49, there is a providential and fixed strategy. The Bible says, "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone," and there's a good redneck term, "slang it." Are you of the thought or the persuasion that David had a slingshot like this or like this? You really believe that? Because if you believe he had a slingshot like that, they are extremely inaccurate. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, yes. Providential and fixed strategy. The winding in a circle speaks of providence. It speaks of eternality. It speaks of someone else controlling things besides the human hand that controls it. Providentially fixed strategy. He slang the rock. The Bible said, "And it smote the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth." I am convinced tonight, do not call me and wake me up. I believe David could have done a behind-the-back shot. I believe he could have done an under-the-leg shot. It would have mattered not. When he slang it, the God of providence had fixed the battle and got the Holy Ghost to saddle up, got the Son, that rock, and rode it into the forehead of Goliath. Because it was fixed, it was rigged. He couldn't miss. It's impossible. I'm glad of that tonight. I'm telling you tonight, your battles been rigged, they've been fixed. If you'll fight your battles out of that principle tonight, it's impossible for you to lose. Not only is there a providential and fixed strategy, but there is a principle to be followed in this strategy. I did not know if you knowed it or not. I don't want to mess up your Sunday school lessons. But the rock didn't kill Goliath. Sorry. You know, once again, just bringing up the Bible. He says in verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slung it and smote. The little word smote there means to render powerless. He did not kill the giant with that rock. He rendered him powerless. Jesus did not kill the devil on Calvary's cross. But he did say in Romans 6, knowing this, that my old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be what? Destroyed, rendered powerless. For the children of God tonight, when Christ died on the cross, if you want to enter into the rigged battle that Christ purchased on the cross, he rendered Satan powerless over you. No authority over you. Battle's been rigged. Watch the text. Verse number 51, same chapter. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof and, different word, amen, slew, put to death. In Ephesians chapter 6, the armor for the child of God chapter, does anybody remember what the sword is? You boys got work to do. Anybody know what the sword in the armor is? Thank you. Oh, gracious. I thought I was going to have to go over there and preach. Was almost done. Satan has been rendered powerless at the cross. If you get in battles tonight, do not go sawing on him tonight with a dull sword. He's fixing to smack you in the middle of the week looking both ways for Sunday. You better be very adequate in this book. And I notice a lot of you don't even have a Bible with you tonight. Where's your sword at tonight? Amen. I tell you, you better have it sharp tonight before you slay the giants. This battle is fixed. It has been rigged tonight. Spirit field, scripture field, fighting out of the belief tonight that the battle has been rigged. It has already been won. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, God forbid I'd be nosy. Killed any giants lately in your life? You saw them go down, took the word of God, cut the heads off, they ain't coming back. You realize the battle was rigged, it was won already. Old song of yesterday so sums up this rigged battle. There's a line that has been drawn through the ages. On that line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross, a battle is raging. To gain a man's soul or its loss. On one side marches the forces of evil. All the demands, all the devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict. The sun refuses to shine. For there hangs God's Son in the balance. And then through the darkness he cries, "It is finished! Battle is over! It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. Jesus is Lord. I believe with all my heart that there's some of you sitting here tonight could identify with this last verse of this song. Listen to it carefully tonight. Don't slough it off and sweep it under a rug. Songwriter said, yet in my heart, the battle was still raging. Not all prisoners of war had come home. There were battlefields of my own making. I didn't know that the war had been won. Oh, but then I heard the King of the Ages had fought all the battles for me, and that victory was mine for the claiming. Now praise his name, I am free. I hear him cry, it is finished. Battle is over. It is finished. There's no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. Jesus is Lord. Some of you sitting right here tonight, you are fighting battles of your own making tonight. You have created them tonight. And you love the challenge of thinking that you have even got a chance to win. I'm here to tell you tonight, you will continue to get whooped in that area time and time again. Unless you hear him cry down through the ages, I done fought all your battles. I done won all your battles. The battle is over. I heard old John Phillips two or three times in person. My wife and I heard him down at Camp Zion years ago. And in his introduction, my wife's ears perked up. He made the statement that he loved since a little boy and continued into adulthood. He said he dearly loved murder mysteries. He said he'd rather read a murder mystery than most any other kind of reading he liked. And he said, as a young boy, first murder mystery he ever read, he said, I went to the last chapter. I read it, found out who won, who did it. And he said, I went back to the first of the book, and he said, I started reading, said, I kept my eye on him the whole way. He said, when God saved me, he said, I did the same thing with the Bible. He said, I went to the last chapter and I found out who won. He said, I went back to Genesis and he said, I kept my eye on him all the way. I'm telling you tonight, the battle is over. It has been rigged. It has been fixed. Oh, I know. Looks like we're losing politically and religiously and financially and morally, all kind of skirmishes. It just looks like we're just getting whooped on every side. But it matters not. I wonder tonight if you would be willing to get your eyes off of how your battles are going and get your eyes on the God that said it was over. It's finished. We won. And live that victory. Be more than a conqueror. Always triumph. Because you're fighting earthly battles in heavenly ways. Would you stand with us tonight? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I believe Pastor Tim ought to come. Take the service the direction he wants to go tonight.